الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة صدق الله صدق الله العظيم. When we look in the world, we find that every person attaches importance and value to different things. And depending on how much of importance and value a person attaches to something, it is in proportion to that that a person will strive for it, make effort for it, and be prepared to sacrifice for it, to bring it into his life and to acquire it. Generally, when you look among the people of the world, it is wealth that holds the greatest importance and has the most value, the currencies of the world. The reason is people know that if I've got a lot of currency, I've got a lot of money, then I can lead the type of life that I want. I can drive the car that I want. I can live in the type of palatial home and mansion that I want. I can embark on the type of holidays that I want. I can go on the travels that I want. I can eat the food that I want. And in short, I will have the type of life that I want. So money is taken to be very, very important. And when money is given that type of value and importance, then we find that throughout a person's life, from childhood already, the direction is money, and the value that is put in the heart is the value of money. You find that young child is only 8-9 years old, he's going to school. What's he going to do in school? He'll be cutting with one scissors, he'll be coloring, and he'll be gluing something with a prit stick. But his parents make sure that he goes to school diligently, regularly and punctually. Not because he needs to learn how to color, but because there's a long-term goal in mind. This is part of the journey of earning money. If the child doesn't want to go to school, the parents will say, no, you have to go. But why? Because if you don't go to school, you won't graduate, you won't get a degree, then you can't study, and then you won't be able to earn a lot of money. When the child gets a little bigger, he's now in high school, and now the marks are more important. The parents keep an eye on the marks of the child. If they see the marks are dropping, immediately the parents will intervene. They say, no, now you need to go for tuition. That child's leisure time, free time, extra time is gladly sacrificed for the goal of getting those marks. That no, although it's a Saturday, you have to go for tuition. Although it's the evening, you have to go for tuition. The child can squeal, he can moan, he can groan, but the parents won't listen to anything. No, you have to go for tuition, because otherwise you're not going to get good marks. You have to get an A pass. At times you find the child, his friends are going for a holiday, his friends are playing sport, but his parents will put their foot down. That no, if you are going to go for these things, you won't study for your exams and you're going to get bad marks. Because the value of that degree is understood. And the parents attach money or attach value to the degree, not for the degree itself. Because the degree is going to become the stepping stone to the qualification, which is then the stepping stone to getting a good job and money. Ultimately, it boils down to money. In the same way, you look at a person who starts a business. He starts off some small enterprise. He can be sick, he can be running a fever. He'll take Panado, he'll still go and open his shop at 8 o'clock in the morning. Because if he doesn't open the shop, who's going to open the shop? Come what may, he'll be there. Come the December time, everybody is going for holiday, this man will not move from his shop because this is the most lucrative season. This is the busiest season of the year, the December period. People can go for holiday, they can go anywhere, they can call him for a braai. He'll say, sorry, I need to stand in my shop. Because in this period, I can make so much of money. All these sacrifices a person will make for the currency of the dunya. But you find that Allah Ta'ala did not send us here for the dunya. Allah Ta'ala sent us here to earn our jannat. And if you attach so much of importance to the luxuries and the enjoyment of the dunya, how much more importance we should attach to the luxuries and the enjoyments of jannat which Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us. A person can have the best of goods in this world. He can have the best house. He can have the most palatial home. Even that home will get a cracked tile. He'll have a leaking problem somewhere. He'll have a border infestation somewhere else. The paint will start peeling somewhere. The window will crack somewhere. It must give him problems. He can have the best car, the car of his dreams. He'll still get a scratched door. He'll still get a burst tire. The battery will go flat. It must give him problems. He can have the best of food also. Give it to him for breakfast, give it to him for lunch, come supper time, though it's the best of foods, he'll say, I'm tired of this food now. It is only in Jannat that a person escalates from pleasure to a higher level of pleasure, and the level of pleasure never diminishes. That's only in Jannat. If a person's willing to make so much of sacrifice for dunya, how much of sacrifice is required for akhirat? Because as we mentioned, a person attaches importance to things and he gives value to things based on how much it's worth. If the dunya is worth so much, apparently in our eyes, how much more the akhirat is worth? That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, Ala inna sil'atallahi ghaliyah, ala inna sil'atallah al-jannah. A person's willing to spend 20 million for his dream house in the dunya. He's willing to spend 2 million rand for his dream car in the dunya. But what about that palace in Jannat? What about those horses in Jannat? What about that food of Jannat? If the dunya costs so much, then there's definitely a price to pay for Jannat as well. If dunya has a price, Jannat also has a price. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith, the goods of Allah have a very, very high price. The reason for that is the goods of Allah is the goods of Jannat. The goods that only escalate and get better and better and better. No depreciation. A person looks at his dream car in this dunya, he pays money for it. The moment he drives it off the showroom floor, already the price value has dropped by 50,000, 100,000. That is how junk it is. Jannat is not like that. So Jannat has a price. Jannat requires sacrifice. How a person wants to become a doctor so he can earn so much of money, so many years of study, so many years of community service, so many years of being on call. Then finally, after years and years of studying and sacrifice and mehnat, now he only starts to earn. Jannat also requires that sacrifice. In the Quran-i-Majid, Allah Ta'ala makes a deal with us. And if you want this Jannat, Allah Ta'ala has it on offer. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah Ta'ala does a deal with us. Allah Ta'ala is willing to give us Jannat, but Allah Ta'ala wants something from us in exchange. That if you give me this, then I will give you Jannat in exchange. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah has purchased and bought from the believers. That price of Jannat, Allah Ta'ala has taken in exchange of Jannat. أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. You have to give your life and give your wealth. Meaning our energy, our time, our focus in life, our wealth, everything must be spent and used in the obedience of Allah and according to the pleasure of Allah. A person must lead his whole life in a way that is pleasing to Allah. Allah Ta'ala gave eyes. He must use these eyes to please Allah. Don't use his eyes to look at haram. Allah Ta'ala has given money. Do not waste that money. Don't squander that money. Spend it in a way that is pleasing to Allah. Allah Ta'ala gave energy and gave time. Everything must be used in a way that is pleasing to Allah. A person spends his life in the righteousness of Allah, in the obedience of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala accepts this person and Allah Ta'ala will bless him. We find the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they also lived in a dunya. Sahaba radiallahu anhum also had wives, they had children. They also had daily needs to meet. They also needed to eat. They also had to earn something. But those were just needs that were attended to as it was necessary. Their focus in life was not that. The qibla in life, the direction in their life was not how the first million can become the second million. And how this car can become a better car. The focus in life was how I can get my jannat. How I can please Allah Ta'ala. That's my main goal in life. And there was no sacrifice too great for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to make. The moment the Sahaba radiallahu anhum heard that now jannat is on offer, Allah Ta'ala wants this from me at this time, I can do it and get my jannat. Immediately they left everything else aside. They could make any sacrifice as long as I can get my jannat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the battle of Badr, he tells the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, قُومُوا إِلَى جَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. That, O my Sahaba, stand up and give your lives. In exchange of a jannat which is so vast, so huge, the breadth of that jannat is equivalent to the heavens and earth combined, let alone the length. One Sahabi hears these words come out from the blessed mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and is overcome with joy. He begins to exclaim, Bakh, Bakh, how wonderful! Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asks him, why are you making this exclamation, Bakh, Bakh? He says, O Nabi of Allah, it is just my desire that I can become from the inhabitants of this Jannat. Rasulullah sometimes, go forward, you are from the people of this Jannat. The Sahabi has some kajur with him. He takes out this kajur to eat, maybe to get some energy to go forward. His last morsels on earth, that kajur, to get some energy to give his life. But then he looks at the kajur and he has a second thought. He thinks to himself, Rasulullah SAW showed me the doors of Jannat are open for me right here. All I have to do is go forward, give my life and I'm a Jannati. Why am I delaying? The extra moments to eat this kajur are moments I'm delaying to get into Jannat. He puts that kajur down. He recites some verses of poetry. Arkan ilallahi bi ghairi zadi illa tuqa wa amalil ma'adi wa sabri fillahi ala al jihadi. He says, I'm now hastening in my journey to Allah without any provisions. I'm not taking food, I'm not taking money. He says, the provisions for this jannat, for this journey to Allah, are taqwa and the amal of the akhirat, the actions of jannat, and this jihad in the path of Allah. This is my provision for Jannat. He says, كُلُّ زَادٍ عُرْضَةٌ نَفَادِي إِلَّا تُقَى وَالْبِرِّ وَالْرَشَادِ. He said, any provisions a person has for a journey in the dunya, that provision will eventually expire, it will deteriorate, it will come to an end, it will become diminished, it will become finished. He said, but the provisions of the journey to Jannat, which is piety and taqwa, he says, those provisions never ever come to an end. Those provisions will be with a person for the next journey as well. And then he goes forward and he gives his life fighting in the path of Allah. You find there's another Sahabi, Hazrat Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu anh, a very, very unique Sahabi. What sets this Sahabi apart and makes him unique is that he had a handicap in one leg. He was crippled or he was lame in one leg. We can imagine the Sahabi could barely walk. He would limp with difficulty. When the call was made for the battle of Badr, the Sahabi, his heart's desire is martyrdom. He wants to go and give his life. But his sons do not allow him. His sons tell him, oh father, there's no jihad for you. You're excused. You are mazur. You stay, we'll go and fight. And because of his son's insistence, he stays behind, but his heart is crying. The next year, when the call is made for the battle of Uhud, the Sahabi again says, he says, I missed one opportunity. Jannat door was open for me, I missed out. I can't miss again. His sons fight with him, no, our father, you don't go, we'll go. There's no jihad for you. You're handicapped. He comes to complain to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That, O Nabi of Allah, last year I missed out once already. I wanted to go, my sons didn't let me go. It's my heart's desire to get this shahadat, this martyrdom. Everybody has dunya attachments to some extent. A person has a wife, naturally he has love for his wife. Everybody has children, he's attached to his children. You do not want to see one strand of hair on the head of your child be harmed. Ask a father if his child goes into theater. When they sedate that child, how his eyes will weep with tears. When the child is wheeled out of theater, how he waits for the child to wake up. Ask the father what his heart goes through. Everybody has attachments. But this sahabi can see Jannat in front. He's willing to leave everything behind. Jannat is here. I'm willing to sacrifice. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, "Ama anta faqad adaraka Allah." Allah Ta'ala has excused you from jihad. But then Rasulullah tells the sons, "But why don't you let your father go? It's not for us for him, but let him go. Perhaps Allah Ta'ala will fulfill his heart's aspiration and give him his heart's desire of that shahadat." And then the sahabi makes dua, "Allahumma rizqni shahada, wala taruddani ila ahli khaiba. Oh Allah, you give me this martyrdom. Oh Allah, I don't want to go back home. Once I leave home, oh Allah, it must be one-way journey to Jannat." The sahabi tells Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "I want to go lumping into Jannat with this leg of mine." Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu anhu is there in the battle of Uhud. He has his son Hazrat Khalad radiallahu anhu with him. And they plunge together into the midst of the enemy. We can just picture the sahabi with his crippled leg, battling to walk, how he must have fought. But he gives his life and he gets his martyrdom. After the battle is over, initially many sahaba were being taken to Madinah Munawwara for burial. Afterwards Rasulullah SAW gave the instruction they must be buried in the field of Uhud. So when the body of the sahabi is taken onto the camel to be taken back to Madinah Munawwara, as much as they try to take his body to Madinah, the camel will not move, it would not budge a foot. The camel was willing to walk in any direction besides the direction of Madinah Munawwara. When they come and ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what has happened. Rasulullah sallallahu says, perhaps he made dua, some dua before he left home. He said, yes, he made dua. Oh Allah, bless me with martyrdom and do not let me go back home. Rasulullah sallallahu said, Allah Ta'ala has accepted his dua. His body will not be able to go back home. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I can see him right now walking in Jannat and his leg is no longer crippled. Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with a completely healthy and perfect leg. But these were the sacrifices that Sahaba radiallahu anhu made wholeheartedly and happily. Sahabi is in battle. He's stabbed with a spear from the back. The spear protrudes out the front. He looks down with his last breaths as his blood is gushing out, as he's dying. With his last breath, what does he say? Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba. By the qasam of the Rabb of the Kaaba, I've attained success. This success was my life must be given for the pleasure and happiness of Allah. The least that we can do is sacrifice to at least lead lives in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the call is made at the time of Fajr, that Muazzin is calling out, Hayya alal falah, come to success. Giving our life on the battlefield is one. At least give that 10-15 minutes to take out that blanket, make wudu and come to the masjid for the Fajr salah. When an opportunity comes to make money, but we know it's haram, we know that this thing is not pleasing to Allah, this involves riba, be willing to make that sacrifice, that I'm not willing to earn money in a way that's displeasing to Allah. Allah will give me something better in this world or in Jannat. When opportunity comes to commit sin, to look at something haram, Allah Ta'ala must give us the heart. Make that sacrifice, lower the gaze, turn away. These are all the sacrifices that are the currency of Jannat. As you mentioned in the beginning, everybody attaches importance to the currency of the dunya to get their dream car and their dream house and their dream lifestyle. But there's a currency for Jannat which we need to earn. If you want to pay the price of Jannat, there's a currency for that. That is the currency of sacrifice and amal. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala make us all from the people of Jannat. Allah Ta'ala grant us all ikhlas. Allah Ta'ala grant us all death upon iman. وآخر دعوة الحمد لله رب العالمين.